Hello, and welcome to this week's episode of
Football is Life.
And sometime death.
I'm Niffer.
And I'm Andy.
And we got a lot to talk about.
Specifically, three games.
three games. Well, let's talk about the worst one first, because that's chronological.
Yeah.
We'll just talk about it briefly. I kind of want to forget this game happened.
Yes.
So this is New England versus Orlando City in New England.
In the middle of the rain.
In the rain?
It was raining hard, and we lost heart.
And I will say that we had Mason in as goalkeeper, and El Bobo was on international duty.
A couple people were on international duty.
I know that wasn't the reason.
Mason, hot take. I think Mason is better than Popo this season. Anyway.
That is a hot take.
He is actually way better than him.
What?
Yep.
Because Glacier has gotten too aggressive and leaves his line too much.
And not only that, late reaction, reflex, it doesn't make sense, going out in stuff that he shouldn't go out, taking his sweet time just to start the game. This is actually, I've been doing some analysis the last couple of days on the players and how much time they have the ball under their feet. And Galese is the goalkeeper who is in the top five of our player who hold the ball for the longest on the field. So
yeah, he literally holds on to it every time. I think he's gonna
get
a yellow card.
And
stresses me out.
Yeah, and add to the stress out the part of he catch the ball and we want to start a corner attack and he runs. Then
yeah,
he stops. He doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
so
it's
yeah,
very weird.
Okay. So.
Yeah, I feel like there's some momentum that he drops. Anyway, let's talk about what happened in New England.
Yep.
So, okay, let's just first say that New England is number two in the league. So, like,
and
we're
they
not
start
talking,
to peak.
Yeah.
And they start to peak.
Yeah, they are playing very well. And they're unbeaten at home this year. Like, the agenda was stacked against us, okay?
And,
but 3-1 is...
I would say it's the first goal. Don't forget, the first goal came in the 51st minute. The first half was really good. We were actually in the second part of the first half, we were doing better.
Mm-hmm.
And why I was expecting them to come out of the gate to score, but the 51st minute goal was not pretty too. And it was looked like a Mason's mistake, but it wasn't. It's just he can't see it because of how we're standing. But in the end of the game, it was a lot of us not being efficient, and our passes were really the passes accuracy was 77%. It was bad. It was a bad game in every position. We were 40% in total. It was not good form. You can feel they lost a little bit of their feet underneath them, and that lead to all of that. I think it was a great time to lose a game like this because this has got them to the Philadelphia game and Seattle game. We're gonna talk about those because those are actually more. I'm more
better.
Excited to Philadelphia game, to be honest. Yeah. Even I didn't go, but it was a good game.
The only other thing I'll mention is it does seem like Duncan Maguire is out here trying to score goals. So I was glad that he came in at halftime and that Poppy didn't wait till the 90th minute to bring him in.
So I'm not going to say that, but I'm going to say it in an indirect way. Like 3-4 months ago, somebody in this same podcast came and said, who's the player that you are most excited? And somebody said, Duncan Maguire. And everybody, you want to play him over? Yes, I want to play him over anybody. He's fire. And
yeah, he's
thankfully
really showing his salt.
He proved my point every single week, every single game. And our text group, the boys group, the guys group, And Taylor, who was questioning me in the beginning of the season and saying, are you sure? He's a rookie. He just graduated from university. I said, wait, this guy gonna be good. And a last game, he began to talk and praise him. And I said, I told you so. Because yeah, well, he's really good. He play what we need for the last two seasons.
Yeah.
The difference between him and Kara. And by the way, the good thing about Duncan McGuire being good, now Kara comes in with a fire under his butt, and and Romero, the same thing. He is igniting the competition between the three to the point that now we have three can do something.
Yeah.
But Duncan, by himself, playing as a nine, is doing tremendous job for us. Because what he do, he pulls, because he's scoring. So now the defender knows, oh, this kid gonna move. We gonna have to cluster him. But because he's big and he's good in controlling ball, and actually he's better than DK of how dribbling the ball, which is an upgrade from DK. DK is my buddy, but still, Duncan is better in dribbling. And the ability of him to pass the ball under pressure, it's what making him better. Because what happened is our midfielder, or the center midfielder, like Pereira, Torres when he plays, and I'll come to Torres and people will be weird about what I'm going to say. Ojeda or Angulo, what he does is he wait, get the ball, pass it, and the two wings just run, and this is open the field. And this is what we've been doing for the last three games, and Duncan is the crucial part of that, which making us look better.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's a good segue into the Philadelphia game.
Oh, boy.
Let me add the
headline for that game.
Okay.
The first game to be robbed in 2023. We got robbed in that game. They steal the pro. Hi, you're back. You have to impact the games again. Dear gosh. Yes, the referee was mistaken. The VAR was mistaken. There is nothing in Kara's goal to be called foul. And that lead to us to lose two precious points.
Mm-hmm.
So, for the love of God, pro, take them to learn some soccer and football from Europe. Or I can go and give them classes if they want to teach them what's foul and what's not foul. But gosh, it was bad.
Yeah, it is tough when it feels like the officials swing the momentum of the game.
Yes.
But we scored early, Duncan. He scored
early.
And we
looked well. And that's
the whole first half, I think we looked like the stronger side, which is like, you know, Philadelphia is ahead of us in the table, not by a huge amount, but enough.
But Philadelphia, just to put in context, Philadelphia was their team playing at home. They beat Miami 4-1. We beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia 2-1. They played us here and they tied with us because of the referee. We actually missed a couple of goals. We actually did very well. But back to what you were saying about the first goal is another great example of what Maguire can do. Because Maguire slides and fall, and he keep going with the ball, and he rammed through the defender, and he scored because of what his physical ability allowing him to do. So that's another great example. And if we're going to talk about the percentage and tactical perspective, this game, we actually didn't have the most possession, which is an interesting one because Philadelphia, in general, they like to sit back and wait for the people to attack them so they pick the ball and go and score. So that's the problem. However, our pass accuracy was higher than the 70 or sometimes 60% that we get. This game were 76. We were aggressive. We were able to do a lot, and we missed a lot of shot on their goal. The only down point of that is we didn't take advantage of Benedict to be their goalkeeper. I know he used to be at Orlando City, but there is a reason why he's been traveling around for a while, because he's not the greatest goalkeeper.
Yeah, no, Bendik, there was a moment where it looked like he was going to come into his prime, and he just never quite fully formed as a keeper.
Yeah, and he's playing because their main goalkeeper playing in Jamaica's team, so he will not go back. And another way to compare in contrast, Bendik and Stilhar Mason. Mason saved three big saves. One of them was MLS Save of the Week. This is how good is the him going down, putting his hand up, and saving the goal. This is a pure magic and the beauty of being a goalkeeper. And because he's hungry, I think we should let him play for a while, because he's getting better and better. His reaction is good. Again, the first goal for Philadelphia is a big question mark to our lovely center backs and Mason. But again, that's because they don't play a lot together. He didn't know if they're gonna intersect it or not. There was a lot of miscommunication. However, there is a lot to talk about the goodness of Mason than being the one to blame in the old days.
Okay. Well, it's sort of, I understand what you're saying about pros involvement, whatever, but it did look like the team kind of shifted in as the changes came on the field in the second half of the game. People didn't seem like they knew exactly where they were supposed to be. Like, it felt like not well communicated and a little disorganized.
Yep.
After that Jack McGlynn goal, it sort of came off the rails. And I think it's just so tough, because you think about, like, if we had just been able to hold on, you know, a few more minutes, the final goal was scored in the 90th minute. And so it's that kind of stuff that happens to Orlando so often, where it's just like heartbreak in the final minutes, and it just really sucks. It used to be that, like, sometimes we would be at a draw and we would come back and win in those moments, and it feels like now in those final minutes, like, we lose the lead, or worse, the other team scores and we get a loss. And I don't know what that is, if it's a fitness issue or if it's just, like, because there are a lot of changes that all happen really compact in the last 20 minutes of the game, if that, like, I don't know. There's something just isn't clicking for our team with whatever's happening in the final 30 minutes of the game, but 20 even. It feels really like things get out of sorts.
Do you think it's related to the style of play that we're playing these days, that we are more aggressive than the old days, which opened the team to opportunities from the opposition to go and attack you? Because I'm gonna go back to the Philadelphia for the first game, but the first goal. But I wanna just to have the conversation about maybe because we're playing differently this year in general.
It's totally possible. I also think that kind of movement, the necessary style of play to play as an attacking team, is just easier to get tired. Because, you know, when you sit back and you just play long balls, there's not that many people who have to sprint around very much. And so it feels like something happens in the 70th minute where, like, frustration with the refs, with the other team, with each other, with the teammates, like, something happens. And then there's, like, this frantic energy of the few people who have legs left, who are kind of, like, going all over the place. You've got Cesar always in, like, who knows where he is on the field, because he's always somewhere that isn't his position, which is okay if it gets covered. But it just feels like there's a little bit of, like, chaos that happens in the final minutes of the game. And I wonder if there's a way that energy could be better, like, molded into something specific.
So I agree with you to a certain extent. I think the game, to be specific, in Philadelphia game, I think the main thing that caused all the chaos was the ball before they scored the McGlynn goal. We were about to score, and they were frustrated.
Yeah.
And before that, I don't know if anybody noticed that, but that kid from Philadelphia, I don't remember his... I think his name is Carranza, number 9. He was just fighting and yelling and pushing. And this is another thing. I felt the referee was really good until the game became chippy and he lost control, and that caused our team to lose focus on what they need to do, which will lead to the goal by McGlynn, and that goal was not supposed to be entered. Then the momentum shifted 100% toward the toward Philadelphia. Then I don't know if anybody noticed that, but I think the second goal is Antonio Carlos' mistake, 100%. You don't interfere with the ball to put it in the middle of the field. You put it onto the sides.
He does that. He does that a lot, and it
it's fundamentals. It's fundamentals.
I know.
He did this in this game and hit it. It did it in Sounder. Thankfully, they didn't score, but. I'm wondering what's going on with Antonio Carlos, and that will get me to the second thing that I want to share with the team when I did the analysis of the team. So, who you think hold the ball most in our team? I just found that, and I was, yeah, it makes sense. The top three players in Orlando City and holding the ball without making steps. So, you have Mauricio Pereira take the ball and move around, but there is three players that they have the ball the longest with less steps or less movement. There's three.
Who are they?
Araujo, number one. Antonio Carlos, number two. Number three is Galese. This statistic is really critical because those are your three. Those are the three players in the three positions that you need to build up the game and make it faster. But there is significant times you can see Araujo and Antonio Carlos, they have the ball, and the game is on. There is no foul or nothing. The ball came to them, and they stand, and they hold the ball and waiting for movement.
It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy. Every time that happens, it's like all the air of momentum leaves the team.
Exactly.
Crazy.
Or Galese doing his hand up and pointing right and left, which make no sense, make nothing. And he will not change anything. This is losing time. They losing momentum. This is my problem. But on the other hand, who's the three top players of the opposite of that? That they are passing ball most and running in accurately.
Who?
Angulo.
Okay.
Mr. Accountant Kyle Smith. And Mauricio Pereira. And
okay, that one surprises me because I feel like Pereira stands over the ball a lot. So he must be doing a lot of other stuff too.
He's moving. Not seeing. That's the critical part. He doesn't hold the ball and begin to jump on right and left and begin to look. No, he take the ball and move towards somewhere until it's blocked, and then he would turn around. This is another thing that the passive passes that we have. The numbers is ridiculous. We can talk about that on a different day. How much we pass forward in comparison to how much we pass backward. This is another statistic.
Yeah, but I can't even get into that because this team makes me crazy with how much they pass backward.
But you have some great thing like Angulo is the most runner in our team in the numbers of how space he travel in running. In comparison to last year, Facundo Torres was number one. This year, he's number three. So there is a lot of this. Actually, Maguire is number four this year. How much he run? Because he run forward and go backward to defend in the set of pieces. It's Maguire is the complete player. I just want him to keep going.
Oh, man.
I love him. because he's young. This is the other piece. He's younger. He came to us younger than DK. So the amount that we can use until he go to Europe and became that crazy player, it's ticking. The time is ticking. And I think he gonna be snatched from our hand sometime soon. This is why I'm so excited for him. Let him enjoy the time. Let's just enjoy him. I don't know definitely when Messi's back here, what the dynamic of the league, how it's gonna look, but
gross.
Yes, we hate Miami, but I think our team is looking good. This is another thing that I think I should be optimistic about our team this year, even after all the crap that we did in the first 2 months, even with Oscar's crazy ideas that was about to fire him, I think he start to redeem himself.
Okay. Okay. Well, I love talking about the future of the team, but I do want to talk about the Sounders. Seattle game. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I'm going to Sounders, because this is what I was gonna say, because Sounders was another game with a great coaching and the fight that happened after the game because of that Sounder game when he threw the ball toward the bench. I don't know if you guys saw that, because not a lot of people watched the game. But in the last couple of minutes, there was an intense moment where the Sounders captain was throwing in the ball. And the referee is asking him to go back to the right spot. He's refusing. Mm-hmm. And our team, definitely, they heckling him because he's not playing from the right place. So he turned around. The player from Sounders will turn around and throw the ball to the bench, hitting Cartagena. And it was crazy after that.
Yeah, but that was crazy.
But back to the game itself. My hot take of the game, the man of the game, after with Maguire, Facundo Torres.
Are you coming back around on Torres? Because you've been such a hater. I think him going to play international duty, like, I think that always brings them back with something to prove. Like, there's always a chip on the shoulder, and I love to see that. But I'm in the Torres. I'm Team Torres. I have been. You've been a little bit less on him. So.
I'm looking at numbers. I am an analyst. That's my job outside of this podcast. I look at numbers.
Analyze. I like to go with how I feel about things. So that's what I'm gonna do.
Yes, you do that, and you're good in that. I am just look at numbers. I just look at pure data, and that's my job. So Torres, that game, ran a couple of times that were very impressive, to the point that I was, whoa. So can we send you every other week to play for Uruguay? And he scored his first goal with Uruguay this week. So he is actually, I think he was more relaxed. He did a couple of great. We did a couple of great. I wish he scored the ball in the last of end of the game when it just missed the goal.
I wanted that for him.
And Mauricio, the open goal when it was completely open and he put it into the stand.
Yeah.
But this is what I want to say. And we're talking about Sounders. Sounders is number three in the West. The West is grinding in comparison to us. Because us in the East, we are very close. And our number now, it's the spur between the first, even Cincinnati lost to DC this week, which is another weird score, 3-0. But what I'm saying is that the gap in the East, it's start to show up in the West. They all next to each other. And Sounders, who is third on the West, has the same points like us in the East.
Yeah.
And we are seventh. So this is how crazy.
It's just really, it's a wild.
But in general, just not to talk, take too much, and I'm the one who's talking too much today. I think the team did very well this game. Our accuracy actually in the passing was highest in the last couple of games. We are 80%. We are actually had most of the possession. Second half was clinical, and the substitution was really good. I'm worried about our couple of our injuries. Like now we have Mikey Holiday injured. We have Gaston injured in the same spot. It's scary where we are right now. Not the same spot, but they are both wingers, what I meant. We're gonna start to have the
summer injury
season. Even we are doing well in comparison to previous season when it comes to summer.
We better be, because we had a really tough start of the season, so slump now.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I thought we looked pretty good in Seattle. They're a tough team, especially at home. And I was really happy to see how we showed up and how we played. It was a really, I think, tactically sound. I thought that we would look more tired than we did, and you know, all those kinds of things. But it was a good game. I was really happy to see it.
And I would say even the substitution were not any of those weird substitutions. The only substitution that make me scratch my head was him pulling Duncan Maguire and putting Romero Enrique, just because Maguire was doing well, but. Honestly, Enrique came in and did also a great job.
I wonder if some of it is load management for Duncan.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's doing, because he's known, Oscar Pereira known for load management.
The long game. Yeah.
Long game. Even sometimes we need to score.
I know. Sometimes I want him to be like a little more aggressive, but we have a really packed week coming up. It's like wild. Yeah. Because we've got the game on the 1st against Chicago at home, and then the 4th
with Toronto,
whose coach just got fired. Thankfully, our friend isn't in the same position.
They are doing very bad.
They are doing very bad. And then we have another game later that week, right?
Then 8th, we're going to play Salt Lake.
Yeah, that's at Salt Lake, right?
Yeah, but this is a fun knowledge. We and Salt Lake are the most teams in the league to score points on the road. We're the top two teams in the league scoring. Yeah. We scored 15 points so far away, which is more than half of our points.
Wow, that's crazy. So we've got just a full week coming up this next week. Three games in 7 days. So I think that Preya Poppy. Sorry, I know it's his name, but I just... Poppy, he, I think, is playing for the long haul through the summer. I also think that there's a team who probably should let their coach go. I mean, I know they did right before they signed Messi, but they stink. Miami is.
They already got rid of what's
No, I know. I know. They fired him right before they brought Messi on, which if I was that coach, that'd be pretty upsetting.
I don't know, but that's. That's Gary Neville. This is Neville. So Gareth Neville, this is him. I don't understand so far why he came to Miami, other than because he's wanna be with his buddy Beckham, because they play together when they're in Man U.
Yeah.
But honestly, I don't understand what's happening with this team, because they went and get Tata, which is the Mexico national team coach in the World Cup, who was very bad, and everybody criticized how bad he is. So I don't know why.
Here's a couple crazy things. I know we don't want to talk about Messi every week, but it's just like it's imminent. He's coming in a couple weeks and whatever.
Oh,
but like
see him here.
He and Bessie, Sergio Busquets. Is that his
Busquets?
Okay, whatever. Those guys have never been on losing teams in their entire careers, and they're joining a team that is losing in the MLS. Like, two guys makes a difference, but can it make that much of a difference? They're coming in so late, like.
Because I'm a Barcelona hater, and I hate Barcelona. Okay, guys, just a confession. I hate Barcelona. I hate Messi. So those are something that, and Puskás. And Messi is my trauma from my days when I cheered for Real Madrid all the time. But don't forget, Puskás and Messi were in the team when Bayern Munich showed them how to beat them 7-0 in the in Champions League. So and Real Madrid got them a couple of times. So
yeah, but they didn't they weren't on losing on the whole season. Like they've never been under 500 on a team.
Yes.
It's going to be a big culture shift for them in terms of a culture of winning.
But
and you've got Joseph Martinez, isn't he down there? I thought he was supposed to be the next big thing out of the MLS. What a joke! I hate that guy.
Jose Martinez, as we know, he's an addict, and we saw him why he got kicked out of Atlanta. So that's the thing. But let me also be the devil advocate here. I'm sorry to be that, but this is reality. Messi and Puskás, they played in La Liga and Ligue 1, which is two of the French and the Spanish leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be very, very, very clear in that. The Spanish and the French in different level than MLS. So they are coming to more relaxed league. However, this is a soccer game. This is not tennis that you by yourself win the game. It's a team game.
100%.
And the crew that are surround them, even if they got Suarez, I think they will still suck because they can't get the whole team good. Messi never defend. Suarez never defend. Busquets is midfielder. So they don't have a defense. They don't have a goalkeeper. So this is not going to fix their problem unless they're going to play 11 in the back.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like it's all what it looks like and how to sell jerseys and all this stuff and not how do you build a real team. And I think Messi, I'm sure he's going to Miami because of his relationship with David Beckham. And I'm sure Beckham was able to help him negotiate the things that he needed to. But I feel like, man, there are other teams that if you added Messi onto those teams that are more complete, they'd be unstoppable. If he was
just in New England.
Yeah. It would be gross. Nobody would ever want to play them. I personally just hate Miami. So I'd hate that he's there. But I think in terms of the rest of the MLS, they're whatever, we get all the value, but it's not going to really change things.
Los Angeles Galaxy got Abramovich and he was unstoppable. And that team, which suddenly boom, because the team has the bones to build off of
it. Yeah, but they still couldn't get it done.
But that's a different story because we know how Zlatan is really ridiculous human being in mentality. But this is another.
He also is a person who doesn't want to be on a losing team. So when they lost, I was at a game that he, the last game he played in after his first year here. No, it was just his last of the first year, but it was if they win, they go on to the playoffs. And if they lose, they don't. And when they lost, he sat in a chair for a long time, just really thinking about things. And I he seems like the kind of guy who's what did I left Europe to play here? You know what I mean? To lose in America? Because I think he thought if I come and I'm on this team, then we're unstoppable. And I think Messi thinks the same thing.
And he left in the end and moved to Europe, play for AC Milan, score with them, take them to further than what they think, and he just simply left.
Uh-huh. I don't know. So I just think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. Anyway, that's enough talking about Miami and Messi. We'll talk about them in September when we play them. We'll probably talk about them when he actually starts playing in the MLS, but we don't need to make this a Messi podcast.
Last two things I want to mention before we go. First thing, I'm not going to say my opinion today. Let's do it sometime else. I want to hear your opinion about Greg Bullharter back as a coach.
Okay. Can't wait to talk about it.
No, I want to hear yours.
Oh, right now?
Right now. On the spot.
It makes zero sense to me. Zero sense. There is no reason from this. I think that part of why he got the job is because they felt weird about the way he was put on like probation or whatever.
Okay.
And so they're like, oh, well, we really need to give him a chance or something. Like, I think that's part of what they, sorry, mm-hmm. I have my microphone. I think that's part of what they wanted to do. But that is not good. Like, we are trying to be real contenders for the World Cup that we are hosting and the Copa that we are hosting, and we are people already have a like a feeling about America and soccer, and I just don't think that it's going to help anything for Greg to be at the helm. He's not the guy.
Let's invite the boys and we can have a big discussion about that.
Okay.
Because you guys heard me and heard my opinions about Greg. So that's why I'm not sharing my opinion this time. The second thing I want to quickly mention, and I want to hear you because you're the fun and more optimistic and happiest than me.
Sure.
How do you feel about a year as a podcaster?
Oh, it's been 1 year.
Yes.
Congratulations to Football is Life and Sometimes Death. We've been doing this for a year. I feel really good about it. We've been a lot more consistent this year, even though I've been on the road a ton. You've been on the road a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've really made it work. I'm really happy about this podcast and excited to keep it going. Let's talk about the Women's World Cup in a couple weeks. And
we have our
MLS.
And we have our representatives there.
Yeah, we do have some friends that will be in Australia and New Zealand, which is amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to us. And please, I'm going to say it for one time and one time only. Please listen, subscribe, and
like
share.
And subscribe, like, share.
And share. And please leave reviews. This is going to help us to stay longer and get more people to listen. And also leave us comments so we know what you would like to hear and what you don't like to hear. And like, Andy, you're done. You stop talking about your hate.
You can just give us any feedback that you want. You know how to get in touch with us. Thanks, everybody. Until next time, go City.